Sweet Talker, written by Vesna, read by S. Biao. Fandom, The Untamed. Relationship, Lenten, Weying. Writing, explicit. Wien skits into the gym, then bypasses everybody setting up on the court, throwing a big wave, and runs into the locker room to change. She wouldn't have been late, except that she'd run into an old buddy from university, and you know how these things go. Anyway, she's here before the start of practice, and that's what matters. She strips quickly, only getting stuck in her jeans a little bit, then gets her sports bra on, along with her jersey and shorts. Then the knee pads. Then she shoves her feet into her socks and sneakers, and she is good to go. Last thing she does is check her phone, habit, and toss it into her locker, shouting it decisively and clicking the lock. There. She's ready. You're late, Wintin tells her as soon as she's joined her team on the court. Huffing from all of her exertions, Wing gives her a big grin. Only by a minute. Try 10. She raises her eyebrow. You're exaggerating. Anyway, who's that? There's an unfamiliar middle blocker on the opposite team, one they've played 1,000 times. I've never seen her before. And Wing is pretty sure she would have remembered her. That? I don't know her name. I think she's new to the team. Winting assesses the woman. I bet she's trouble. Look at how tall she is. Well, yeah, she's a middle blocker. Wing bets her height is what got her the position. She's tall and she's, like, super cool. Her short, dark hair is pulled up into a tiny pony at the crown, revealing an undercut underneath, and she's lean and muscular. She must notice Wing's gaze on her because she shifts where she's looking and looks directly at Wing. Wing grins and waves, but the woman just skitters her gaze elsewhere, pursing her mouth.
Well, rude.
Wing shrugs, then turns her attention to her team. They're ready to go, and Jin Su is about to serve. Wayne puts all other thought aside and focuses on the game. Tuesday night volleyball is basically the best night ever. Wen Qing had been right. The new woman is trouble. And it's not just because she's tall. She's got a killer block and she's fucking fast. So far, she's blocked nearly every attack Weiying has sent her way, and by now, Weiying is sweating and frustrated, her competitiveness rising to the fore. They're a strong fucking team. Winting's an amazing libero. Jinsu has the serve of a goddess, and Weiying can hit from any position, and does, and scores them the most points. This new woman is throwing off her balance, making Weiying work for it. Which, of course, makes it all the sweeter the times that Wing manages to get past her and score them points. The woman looks pissed every time, which makes it even better. Wing wonders what her deal is. She seems serious and focused in a way that Wing can get too, but it isn't exactly her natural state. And it becomes clear that the other team members are deferring to her judgments, like when she tells her teammates where to jump so it narrows the course for Wing's shot. It's incredibly frustrating and unbelievably fun, and by the time they're done, Wing's team loses for the first time in 2 months. Wing is a sweaty, grinning mess. Yeah, okay, they fucking lost, but what a game! She gives her team a high five each, ending with Wintiang, then slings her arm around her neck and starts to steer her towards the locker room. Nah, I'm not changing here. I'll just go home and shower. Wintiang points to her bag, slumped on the floor in the sidelines. Have fun, though. See you tomorrow night. Wayne sighs dramatically and drops her arm.
Abandoned in my hour of need.
Then ducks out of Wintiang's reach. All right. I'll see you tomorrow. If you find any cute boys between now and then, be sure to bring them along.
Incredible, Wingting mutters.
Tomorrow's strictly a girl thing, Weiying. No thoughts of boys, you got me?
Fine, fine, fine. I'll just have to search for the one myself.
Wei waves her off and files into the locker room after everybody else. She bounces up to her locker, still feeling pumped up on adrenaline, and finds herself face to face with a new woman from the opposing team.
Oh, hi,
she grins.
The woman purses her lips again, then gives an almost reluctant-looking nod. She's covered in a sheen of sweat, though not dripping with it like Wei Ying, and she hasn't taken off her clothes yet, and she's... Huh. Now that Wei Ying sees her up close, she can see that the woman is really good-looking. She's got a straight nose, these light brown eyes that look almost amber in the halogen light of the locker room, and her mouth, when it isn't pursed, is full. The sort of mouth Wei Ying has always wanted, but sadly for her, doesn't have. And she's got this cool quality to her that makes Wei Ying want to be her friend. Well, there's only one way Wei Ying has ever made friends with anyone. Through relentless, bull-headed persistence bordering on annoyance. It may not be orthodox, but it hasn't failed her yet. I'm Wei Ying, she says, extending her hand. You're new to the team, right? Still looking reluctant, the woman takes Wei Ying's hand and squeezes it once, hard, before dropping it and then says, in a surprisingly deep voice,
Lantern. Yes.
Lantern. Name!
Score!
Cool, cool, cool! Well, welcome!
Wei Ying strips off her jersey, then goes for her knee pads, then shorts.
Not that it's my place to, like, welcome you to another team, but I bet we'll be seeing a lot of each other. We play you guys all the time.
Having stripped down to her underwear, Wei Ying now goes for her sports bra, which is always such a pain to get out of when you're sweaty.
We rarely lose, though.
Wei Ying catches Lantern's eyes and winks, then finishes wriggling out of her sports bra.
Ugh, gross. Anyway, we need to start.
Lantern is no longer looking at her, but into her locker, like she's searching for something.
2 weeks ago.
You're brand new!
Wei Ying reaches into her bag and pulls out her body wash and shampoo.
But you've clearly been playing for a while, right? You're super good. Are you new in town?
Still avoiding looking at Wei Ying, Lantern reaches into her locker and takes out her phone.
Is she just gonna stand there, fully dressed, and check her phone? Weird. So far, all she's taken off are her knee pads.
Yes, a month.
A month? Well, we should, like, get to know one another. I've been here my whole life, so I know all the fun places and stuff.
A beat, then.
Thank you, bud. I'm all right.
Wei shrugs, stripping off her underwear and reaching into her bag for her towel.
Well, let me know if you change your mind. Here, let me give you my contact info.
She extends her hand for Lenchen's phone. Lenchen is preternaturally still, then she says stiffly,
No, thank you.
And turns away.
Rude? Wei fake gasps. That's so mean!
Oh, well. She shrugs again. Suit yourself. I'm going for a shower.
See ya!
And saunters off with her towel slung over her shoulder. Wei Ying is, naturally, the last one to arrive at their all-girl get-together the following night, but in her defense, nobody expects any better from her.
I'm here, I'm here, I'm here!
She plumps down across from Wen Qing and Qin Su next to Mian Mian.
Sorry, what is this place anyway?
It's called the gay bar, Wei Ying. What kind of an ally are you?
Wen Qing arches her brow.
Oh!
Wei Ying blinks and looks around.
How had she not realized?
Now it makes sense why Wen Qing didn't want to bring any boys. This is an all-girl get-together.
Well, Wei Ying is an excellent ally, which is says to Wen Qing the next moment.
And an amazing Wing woman.
She winks.
Are you looking to score? I can help.
Wen Qing rolls her eyes.
Yes, I'm aware you're a wing spiker.
Wei Ying giggles.
I'm here to be with my friends, not score. We're not all inveterate horn dogs like you.
Wayne puts on an offended face.
I'm not a horn dog. I'm a romantic. I'm looking for romance.
Yeah, in their pants, Yemma mutters into her glass of water.
You too?
Wayne sits up properly and catches Jinsu's eye. Do you think I'm a horn dog? Jinsu, perhaps wisely, refrains from answering the question, saying only, I think you're looking for love.
There! Susu gets me!
Wayne sticks her tongue at Wenqing. In truth, Wayne isn't, like, all that crazy about sex itself. She likes the closeness of it mostly. And it's not like she's been with a million people either. She's had sex with 3 guys total, but has definitely made out with... more than that. But that's different. And making out with people is fun. That's where the romance is anyway, in the kissing. Sex is like an afterthought, really. But Wing really, really loves kissing. Anyway, what's on the menu? They study the menus on their phones, then everyone decides on their drinks.
I'll go.
Wayne pops to her feet. Just text me your orders in case I forget between here and the bar. And then she's making her way to the bar, weaving in between groups of women. She's never been in a gay bar before, and it's interesting, although she really hopes that nobody here thinks she's available. Wayne is straight, and she wouldn't want to, like, give anybody the wrong idea. What if someone wants to chat her up? It would be awkward to have to be like, actually, I'm just a really good ally to my gay friends. Too much trouble, really. She finally bellies up to the bar and catches the bartender's eye.
Hi!
She's already got her friend's orders in her WeChat and she rattles them off, nearly forgetting to give her own. The bartender nods and goes to make their drinks while Wei Ying finds herself looking around curiously. There are all sorts of women here. Femme and butch. See, she knows the terminology. And they're not all couples, at least not that she can tell. She's just starting to get a bit antsy and bored, waiting for the drinks to be made, when she hears a familiar voice say,
Just a lemonade for me.
And turns in the direction it came from.
It's Lan Chen!
At least she thinks it is. She looks different now. For one, she's dressed in street clothes, which are comprised of black jeans, a simple white t-shirt, and a leather jacket that looks like it was made specifically for her. She's got on stumpy leather boots, and her hair isn't up anymore, but framing her face, the undercut peeking out.
She looks so cool.
Wing instantly wonders if she could pull off this outfit, then decides she's definitely not cool enough for it. But on Lan Chen, it looks like she was born to it. Effortless and natural. She's standing next to a woman who's clearly ordering for them both. Girlfriend? Is Lan Chen gay? She must be, she's got the vibe. And not noticing Wing staring at her. And despite remembering the very obvious brush off, Wayne can't help it. She calls out Lan Chen's name and waves. Lan Chen turns abruptly towards her, and Wayne can see recognition sweep over her. Her eyebrows draw together minutely, but otherwise, her expression doesn't change at all.
Wayne, she says with a nod.
Fancy meeting you here,
Wayne grins.
Date?
Lan Chen purses her lips again. She's really quite good at that, isn't she? Then nods once.
I'm here with friends,
Wayne says, then realizes her presence here could be entirely misconstrued.
Like a girl's night. My friends are... I'm straight, but definitely an ally.
Lan Chen's lips purse again, but she doesn't say anything. That's when the bartender lines up Wayne's drinks in front of her, then waits to scan her phone. She presents it quickly, then says,
It'll take me 2 trips.
The bartender doesn't seem to care, so Wayne grabs 2 of the drinks and gives Lan Chen a quick look.
Well, have fun on your date. See you around, I guess.
She brings Wen Qing's and Mian Mian's drinks to them, then goes back for the remaining 2. By the time she does, Lanchan is already gone. Wei looks around, just in case, but can't spot her anywhere among the throng. Oh well. She goes back to her table and rejoins her friends.
It's girls' night, after all.
Wei is out at lunch with Jiang Teng when she looks up at the person walking through the restaurant door and stops mid-sentence because it's Lanchan. Again. She's not alone this time either, but with a man who could easily be her twin. Possibly is her twin. Lanchan turns her head and meets Wei's gaze, stopping in place. Wei waves.
We just keep running into each other, she says cheerfully.
Jiang Teng looks confused as he looks between them, but keeps quiet for once. Lanchan gives a nod, looking reluctant, and is clearly about to walk past them when Wei Ying pipes up again, because did she mention bullheaded persistence?
Is that your twin? You should introduce us.
Lanchan's jaw works for a moment, and then she visibly steels herself and says,
This is my brother, Lan Huan. He's older. Lan Huan, this is Wei Ying. We played opposite each other in volleyball the other week.
Hi, Lan Huan. Nice to meet you. This is my brother, Jiang Teng. Jiang Teng, Lan Chen, Lan Huan.
Lan Huan, unlike Lan Chen, apparently knows how to be friendly and even smile, something Wei Ying isn't convinced Lan Chen is capable of. He says, his voice warm.
It's lovely to meet you both.
It's fascinating how alike and yet different the two siblings are. Both are tall and, well, beautiful, but one exudes kindness and warmth, and the other is Lan Chen.
Likewise!
Then Wei Ying turns to Lan Chen.
So you probably don't need my help finding your way around the city because you keep popping in all the places I go to.
It's a clear invitation for a chat, one that Lan Chen, predictably, sidesteps.
It would seem so. Good day.
And then she's grabbing her brother's arm and steering him away. Lan Huan's face betraying surprise at being manhandled. Unfortunately, that is the moment that Wei Ying's eyes land on Lan Chen's ass for some reason. And damn, those jeans look good on her. Wei Ying wishes her ass looked like that, and she knows she has a better than average butt. She flushes, not knowing why, and turns back to her brother. She shrugs.
No, well.
Why do you even bother with this person? She clearly hates you,
he points out, taking a bite of his salad.
That's temporary, Wei Ying says breezily. You know I win everybody over eventually. It's part of my charm.
Part of a restraining order, more like.
Jiang Teng grumbles, and Wei Ying chooses to ignore him, tugging into her soup and its delicious warmth. Someday, she'll make Lan Chen be her friend. She doesn't even know why she wants it so much, really. Why Lan Chen, specifically? Only now it's a challenge, and Wei Ying has never backed down from a challenge.
And she doesn't intend to this time either.
They play Lan Chen's team again 3 weeks later, and Wei Ying feels herself light up as Lan Chen makes her way onto the court.
Damn, she's tall.
Wei Ying is no shrimp, not like Wen Qiang, who makes up for lack of stature with an abundance of personality, but Lan Chen is taller. In her shorts and jersey, she looks like the most imposing player out there. And with good reason, she is. She takes up her position in the front middle and doesn't engage in any conversation happening around her before the start of the game.
Lan Chen! Hey, Lan Chen!
Wei makes a show of waving with both arms, so Lan Chen is forced to acknowledge her.
How are you?
She has to raise her voice to be heard over the general din of the gym. Lan Chen looks like she isn't going to answer for a moment, which would be hella rude considering everybody is watching, but then bites out.
Fine.
And then, after a moment's thought.
And you?
Wei bobs out of formation and makes her way towards the net to be heard better.
I'm great! Excited to beat you guys. I'm prepared this time.
A minute lifting of an eyebrow from Lan Chen.
Being prepared doesn't mean you're equal to the challenge.
Aha!
Wei makes a show of looking behind her at her teammates.
Did you guys hear that? Damn, those are fighting words.
She turns back to Lunjian and cocks her head, hands on her hips.
Want to bet on it?
I do not gamble.
Wei rolls her eyes.
Honestly, it doesn't have to be money.
Wei can bet anything. Oh, how about this? Wei win, you have to give me your phone number.
You win, I leave you alone.
She gives her a toothy grin and lifts an eyebrow.
Hmm? How about it?
Lunjian is watching her with a neutral expression, her gaze even.
Deal.
Yes!
Shake on it? And she ducks down underneath the net to end up on the opposing side. This puts her right next to Lunjian, who takes a step back like she's been burned. Rude.
Again!
Not to be put off, Wing extends her hand. After a moment of looking at it, Lunjian takes it. Her hand is warm and her handshake is strong. Wei puts her all into answering it just as firmly. Then she takes her hand back.
Sweet, you better watch out!
And she turns to her spot so the game can finally begin.
There.
Now she's got a very compelling reason to win this game. It's not easy.
Lunjian makes Wei work for it just like last time. But unlike last time, Wei is now familiar with her strategies and goes full on berserk to counter them. Her attacks are on point, and Lunjian doesn't manage to block all of them either, looking serious and unhappy. Is the prospect of Wei's friendship really that distasteful to her? Or does she just hate to lose? Well, so does Wei Ying, and she doesn't intend to. She plays to win, sweat pouring off of her with each passing minute. Her thighs burn, her arms ache, and she feels the sort of exhilaration you can only get on the court. She racks up points, but so does the opposing team. And then, 2 minutes before the end of the game, Lunjian's team commits a foul, and then a spike goes wide, and Wei Ying goes for the kill. She attacks, and Lunjian lunges to receive, but despite her long reach, the ball manages to hit the floor, within bounds, and Wei Ying wins them another point. And then, the game is over, and her team rushes her, and they all jump up and down, arms around one another, because they're finally back on top, where they belong. Wen Qing ruffles her hair, Mian Mian chants her name, Qin Su beams at everyone. Finally, they unstick from one another, and Wei separates from the herd in order to look for Lunjian, who is nowhere to be found. Maybe she's in the locker room already. And Wei waves to her teammates, then shakes the hands of some of the opposing players, and jogs over to the locker room. And there Lunjian is, slipping out of her jersey, not noticing Wei Ying as she bounces up to her and leans against the lockers, watching her.
Damn, Lunjian's got abs. And those hip grooves that always look so tempting on people.
Wei Ying sort of has those, and she does have a pretty firm stomach, but Lunjian is long and lean and defined. She's got a real athlete's body, with a taut waist and wide shoulders. Wei Ying drags her gaze up from the flare of her hips to Lunjian's face and finds Lunjian watching her in silence, waiting.
So,
Wei Ying says, recovering from the weird interlude of staring at Lunjian's body.
I won. Give me your phone, please.
Lunjian drops her jersey onto the bench. Wei Ying's gaze unhelpfully lingers on her sports bra, darkened with sweat, the swell of her breasts obvious over the edge of it. And wordlessly reaches for her phone. She swipes it open, and Wei Ying takes it gleefully. She quickly undoes the lock on her locker, then fishes out her own phone and scans Lunjian's QR code in WeChat. Then, to save Lunjian the trouble, she accepts her own friend request.
There, now we're friends.
Wei Ying hands her back her phone.
No escaping me now, you know?
Lunjian watches her with that almost scarily neutral expression and doesn't say anything. Wei Ying waits, but no, there's nothing. Wei rolls her eyes.
You're just gonna ignore me, aren't you? Oh, well.
She makes a show of shrugging.
I'm an awesome friend, so that'll be your loss.
She turns her back on Lanchan and leans down to get rid of her knee pads. Then she strips off her sweaty jersey and shorts. A spike of hurt at the complete lack of reaction from Lanchan. Wing doesn't exactly enjoy being ignored. Doesn't feel good. With her back still to Lanchan, she struggles out of her sports bra, then goes for her gross, sweaty underwear. She turns to her locker, grabs her bag, fishes out her towel, and finds Lanchan watching her, looking sort of reluctant but determined.
What?
She holds the towel protectively in front of her. Lanchan lowers her gaze, and that's when Wei Ying notices that her ears are bright pink, almost radiating heat.
I won't ignore you,
she says quietly in that deep voice of hers.
Oh, Wei Ying blinks. Well, good.
She doesn't know what else to say, but at least that was something.
I'm showering. I'll talk to you later.
Lanchan nods, looking anywhere but at Wei Ying.
Well, that's good enough for Wei Ying for right now.
She grabs her body wash and shampoo and bounces out of the row of lockers and into a shower stall.
Two victories in one night. She could get used to this.
Wei Ying decides to give Lanchan a reprieve of one day, but then on the second day, she pulls up Lanchan's info on WeChat and types out,
Hello, how are you settling into the city?
She figures that's nice and neutral, non-threatening. Lanchan doesn't respond for several hours, but that's fine. It's a work day. It occurs to Wei Ying that she has absolutely no idea what Lanchan does for a living. And then it occurs to her she doesn't know anything about Lanchan at all. She could be, like, super dull, or an actually terrible person. She's certainly not nice, like her brother seems to be. But Wei Ying always has a feeling about people that turns out to be mostly right, and she has a feeling about Lanchan. Her feeling is there's a lot hiding beneath the cold exterior, and whatever it isn't boring. And thus, her mission, become Lanchan's friend. Like, for real, not just as part of a bet. When Lanchan does finally respond, all she says is,
Well, thank you.
That's not a lot to go on. Wayne chews on her lip as she's walking home from the bus, then types out, So what do you do all day, Lanchan? Like, for a living? This response comes gratifyingly more quickly than the previous one.
I'm an editor at a publishing house.
Holy shit! How cool is that? And Wei Ying may not know a lot about publishing, but doesn't Lanchan seem a bit young for such an important role? And isn't it a notoriously difficult industry to get into?
Me.
Impressive! So you must read a lot, huh?
Lanchan. I do. Both for a living and for pleasure. Me.
That's very cool. So you're smart and well-read. Good to know.
There's no response to that, which is a bit disappointing. Then, typing appears on the screen and lasts for a while until it goes away again. And then nothing.
Huh.
Well. Wayne sighs and swipes over to Instagram to catch up on her feed. At least there's been contact now. She'll take it. Wing is, once again, out with her girls. This time, there's no pretense. They're out on the prowl. Apparently, Wenqing and Mianmian want to get laid, Qin Su is there for moral support, and Wing is doing what she does best, looking for love in all the wrong places. So, there they are, at another bar, mixed this time, though apparently popular with the queer people of the city. Wei looks around, looking for any available men who look interesting, and straight, enough to hit up for a conversation.
Unfortunately, nobody appears to be noticing her, which is frankly shocking because she's looking hot as hell, if she says so herself. She's got on a short black dress with a flared skirt so that if she decided to twirl, her everything would be on display. A cute jean jacket and tall black boots. Also, her makeup is killer. Red lip, cat eyeliner. Her long hair is straight as a pin, framing her face. Come on! Who wouldn't want to hit that, right? She says as much to Wen Qing, who sighs and bumps her shoulder with a fist. Maybe the love of your life just isn't at this bar tonight. Maybe you should lower your expectations. Maybe you should lower your expectations, Wayne grumbles, then sucks on her straw. Her cocktail is sweet with a kick that goes straight to her head in that nice fuzzy way. I'm just saying, I'd like someone to notice me. Wen Qing rolls her eyes, looks around, and then freezes.
Oh, I think someone maybe already has.
Wayne straightens up.
What? Where? Who?
Then she follows Wen Qing's gaze, and her heart gives a lurch.
Lan Chan! Lan Chan? It's definitely Lan Chan.
She's got on that cool leather jacket. Her long legs are wrapped in jeans artfully torn at the knees and down the thigh, and her hair is up off her face, the way she usually has it at volleyball, showing her undercut. She's sprawled in her seat, one hand loose around her drink, and she is unmistakably looking at Wei-ying.
Oh,
Wei-ying breathes, then breaks into a smile and says,
be right back.
Before bouncing up off her stool and making her way towards Lan Chan, who is not alone. She's sitting across from a pretty woman with long hair and pink lips who's checking her phone. Lan Chan holds Wing's gaze the entire time that Wing is walking towards her. Wing can't help grinning big as she approaches her.
Lan Chan! Fancy meeting you here!
Lan Chan looks untouchable.
God, she's so cool.
Wing, how are you?
I'm good. You know, out with friends. And you?
She shifts her gaze to the young woman sitting across from Lan Chan, who's lifted her head and is now frowning slightly in Wing's direction.
Date?
Looks like a date, though perhaps not a very good one.
Fine,
Lan Chan indicates the woman.
This is Cheng Fan, and this is Wei-ying. We play volleyball on separate teams.
So a rival?
The woman says smoothly, which rankles Wayne for some reason.
I guess you could say that,
she responds as brightly as she can manage.
Nice to meet you.
Then she shifts her gaze back to Lan Chan, feeling like a third wheel and wondering why Lan Chan had been staring at her in the first place.
Well,
Lan Chan doesn't say anything, leaving Wayne to flounder. She feels foolish. Why had she come over? For a moment, she entertains the idea of just joining them, but that would be A, rude to them, and B, mean to her friends. This thought is what finally pulls Wayne together.
Well, I'd better get back to my friends.
She nods at Cheng Fan, who nods in return, then looks at Lan Chan expectantly.
Yes.
Lan Chan finally says, then surprises Wei-ying by turning to Cheng Fan and saying,
I will be right back. Can I get you another drink?
Cheng Fan agrees and then goes back to her phone. Abruptly, Lan Chan stands up. They're nearly the same height, the two of them, except she feels like she's looming over Wei-ying anyway, her presence slightly overwhelming in a way that Wei-ying can't account for. She smells sweet and musky, some sort of shampoo, perhaps. Wayne steps back wordlessly, giving herself room to breathe. Lan Chan silently indicates for Wayne to go first, which Wayne does, feeling confused and off-kilter. She sees Wen Qing and Mian Mian laughing about something, and for some reason they feel far away from her, as though in a different world.
In this world, the one Weying is currently inhabiting, Lanchen is right behind her, hovering, and then Weying feels a hand at her back, so warm it makes her break out in sweat. She turns her head and tries to catch Lanchen's eye, but Lanchen isn't looking at her, just guiding where Weying goes with that brand of a touch. Weying swallows and turns back to look where she's going, in case she bumps into someone by accident, nearly stumbling as she does. Lanchen steers them towards the bar and, helpless, Weying goes. Once they arrive, Lanchen drops her hand and Weying feels cold in the spot she'd been touching. She shores up all of her social graces, and there are many, she simply doesn't always choose to use them, and says, as breezily as she can manage, "Another date?" Lanchen nods, back to looking the way she's always looked around Weying, cold and unapproachable. Maybe, Weying thinks, that's just her regular face. Yes.
At least they're talking. And Weying hadn't been the one to initiate this entire interaction. It had been Lanchen who'd been looking at her.
The thought gives her courage to plow on.
"So I interrupted a date? Lanchen!"
Feeling emboldened, she lightly slaps Lanchen's leather-clad upper arm.
"You shouldn't be looking at other girls while on a date with one."
Lanchen doesn't scoff or look away, the way Weying is sort of expecting her to. Instead, she raises an eyebrow and says,
"Not all dates are interesting."
"No? She seemed nice enough to me."
Lanchen shrugs, then turns to the bartender who's finally approached them.
"Lychee liquor martini and a seltzer water. Weying?"
"Oh!" Weying flushes for no reason at all. "A date cocktail. You're not..."
Lanchen turns back to the bartender, who nods and retreats.
"Lanchen!"
Weying feels herself grinning despite feeling awkward.
"Are you buying me a drink?"
Lanchen looks at her like, yes, isn't it self-evident?
"But I'm not your date! And I'm straight," she doesn't say.
And then Lanchen leans in and says, her deep voice low and resonant,
"I don't need to be on a date with a pretty girl to buy her a drink."
And Weying's entire body sort of floods with such heat, it becomes almost unbearable. Her cheeks, her belly, her toes, everything feels overly warm, and she feels like she might explode with it. Lanchen straightens, leans one elbow on the bar, and tilts her head.
"I've made you uncomfortable."
"What? No!"
Weying protests, though she thinks, maybe?
But she's also incredibly pleased and almost triumphant as well.
She's very confused.
Are we becoming friends?"
she asks abruptly. Lanchen's gaze on hers is heavy, and she doesn't respond right away. Instead, she waits until the bartender comes back with her drinks, gives him her phone to scan, and then turns back to Weying, who's automatically taken hold of her drink. It's ice cold.
"No,"
she says, and it takes Weying a moment to trace back to the last thing to have left her mouth. She feels her jaw drop open once she does.
"Then
I'll see you around, Weying,"
Lanchen says, and with another penetrating look at Weying, takes her drinks and leaves Weying standing at the bar, gaping like a fish after her.
"What just happened?" She has no idea.
Lanchen is so confusing, and Weying thinks she might need reinforcements to figure it all out. She takes a long sip of her cocktail, turns to where her friends are sitting, and takes off.
"You'll never believe what just happened,"
she says, interrupting their conversation. Wenting raises an eyebrow at the cocktail.
"No round for us? I didn't pay for this,"
Weying says defensively, and makes herself not look in Lanchen's direction.
"It was the weirdest thing,"
She takes them through it, making sure to include every single detail, except perhaps the sensory ones.
They don't need to know what luncheon smells like.
What does that even mean?
She asks once she's told them everything. Wenqing and Mianmian exchange a look.
Well, Wenqing says with amusement in her voice, I think luncheon just came onto you while on a date with another girl.
But I'm straight, Wayne blurts out. She knows I'm straight.
Wenqing shrugs.
So why did you go over there?
What do you mean? I went to say hello. I'm trying to cultivate a friendship here.
What, you don't have enough friends? Mianmian asks breezily. Wayne wrinkles her nose.
No nice ones.
Luncheon doesn't seem very nice.
She really isn't,
Wayne says with something like awe, which takes her by surprise.
Luncheon isn't nice at all.
Baobei, Wenqing says in that way where you're clearly testing her pretense and she's this close to letting you know it.
The woman is testing you.
Testing me?
Wayne repeats with a frown.
For what?
Queerness, Mianmian says immediately. Wayne, she wants in your pants.
No, she doesn't.
Wayne lowers her voice.
She doesn't. If she did, she'd be nicer to me. And she didn't want to be my friend to begin with.
She still doesn't,
Wenqing points out, which makes Wayne flush for some reason.
I'm straight, she says weakly. She tries to picture what it would be like to kiss Luncheon, for instance, or even just be on a date with her, and can't picture it at all. It's like a blank screen, a complete unknown.
Wei has zero relevant experience for this.
And anyway, if she wanted in my pants, as you say, I probably know it, right?
You?
Wenqing says.
Brutal.
Wei smacks her arm.
Baby girl, you're so smart, but you're so oblivious. The only reason you ever end up on a date is because they have to spell it out for you or you're horny for it.
Wei sticks her tongue out at her.
I'm not horny for it. I'm just
looking for love. And you never know which direction it'll come from. As though pulled, Wayne turns a bit and startles. Luncheon is watching her. Again. As their eyes meet, Luncheon takes a sip of her drink, then blinks slowly and turns away, presumably towards her poor date. Wayne watches the cut of her jaw, the straight nose, the long column of her neck, and thinks, if Luncheon were a guy, I'd be so into her.
It's embarrassing how much her type Luncheon is, except for one crucial detail.
Reluctant, she turns back to her friends. Wenqing raises an eloquent eyebrow, but doesn't say anything. Mianmian shakes her head and laughs, and Jinsu buries her face in her glass. Wayne needs new friends. Next time she sees Luncheon, it's on the court. Wayne had known they'd be playing Luncheon's team, and all day she hadn't been able to concentrate, dropping things, zoning out, and telling herself off for it. After all, what was such a big deal about this? Now she's standing on the court, among the first to arrive for a change, and waiting for Luncheon to make an appearance. Then a fear grips her. What if she doesn't? Luncheon is usually early, isn't she? What if she's, like, sick or had a different commitment or something? Ever since that night, as she's come to think of it, Wei hasn't been able to stop thinking about Luncheon. Luncheon going out on dates with different girls. Luncheon sprawled in her seat, jeans-clad legs spread apart, one hand resting in her glass of seltzer water. Luncheon buying her a drink and calling her a pretty girl. If Luncheon were a guy, we would have jumped her bones already. But she isn't, and Wei Ying is straight, and she's the most confused she's ever been. She stands there,
talking to Jin Su and doesn't register Jin Su's eyes widening until a low voice behind her says,
"Hello."
And Lin Chen passes her by without so much as another look. Wei Ying, skin covered in goosebumps all of a sudden, watches her walk to her side of the net and can't look away. Hair up, as always, jersey loose around her slim, toned body, long legs on display under her shorts, her ankles narrow and bony and yet strong somehow anyway. All of her seems strong. Lan Zhan is so athletic.
Wei Ying! Yo!
Huh?
She whips around and meets Wen Qing's raised eyebrow of doom.
What?
Ready to play, or are we going to stare at Lan Zhan all night long?
Wen Qing asks in a mercifully low voice.
Fuck off!
Wei Ying frowns and goes to her spot after flipping Wen Qing off. She does her best to only look at Lan Chen as a rival after that. All Lan Chen is a middle blocker hell-bent on stopping Wei Ying's scores, and Wei Ying will not allow this to happen. She plays with everything she's got, spiking ball after ball over the net with a grunt, her arms and thighs burning from exertion. Lan Chen appears to play effortlessly, her reach doing a ton of work for her, but Wei Ying knows there's a real strength behind the moves. She's just so damn fast in both her thinking and her playing. It takes a lot of effort on Wei Ying's part not to get sidetracked by admiring her technique and lose as a result. And then, close to the end of the game, Wei Ying sees a finger touch by the opposing team on a ball that goes out and yells to the ref. The game halts, and Wei Ying, panting still, yells out,
"Finger touch!"
The other team explodes, especially the spiker that Wei Ying had seen touch the ball, yelling at the ref and Wei Ying all at once. Wei Ying isn't above yelling either, and chaos ensues. The ref blows her whistle and calls out her own ruling, no finger touch. Wei Ying goes to yell again when Wen Qing puts a hand on her shoulder and, when Wei Ying whips around, just shakes her head once. Fuming, Wei Ying gets back information. They lose. Afterwards, in the locker room, Wei Ying tears off her jersey, then balls it up into a sweaty clump and throws it on the floor. Hands on her hips, she breathes hard, aware that she's just overreacted and made herself look like a fool, but she knows what she saw. And then she lost her concentration and cost them a game. She doesn't know who she's more pissed off at. The spiker, the ref, or herself. She desperately needs a shower, but she needs to calm down first, and right now it seems almost impossible. She swivels on her heel and throws her palm against a closed locker, the smack of it loud in the quiet space. She realizes a moment later, as her palm begins to vibrate from pain, that the sound halted conversations happening just out of earshot. She feels doubly foolish. She waves her hand around to try to dispel the pain, and then hears a quiet, "Wei Ying," and twists around. Lan Chen is watching her steadily, all of her attention on Wei Ying, and Wei Ying hadn't realized how incongruous that would feel. It's almost as if she's back in the bar, Lan Chen leaning in and saying,
"What?"
she grumbles, then turns away pointedly. She can still feel the weight of Lan Chen's gaze on her, and it makes her skin break out in goosebumps. It's the weirdest thing. Her hand still smarts.
"Are you all right?"
This time, Lan Chen's voice is closer and Wei Ying shivers despite herself. She tilts her head so she can see her out of the corner of her eye, but not give her the satisfaction of looking at her head on. "I'm fine," she bites out. "That was just a stupid call and I'm pissed about it."
"You're right. It wasn't fair."
Wei Ying twists towards Lan Chen.
"What?"
"It wasn't the right call."
"Then why the hell didn't you?"
"It wasn't my call. It was the ref's."
Lan Chen's eyebrows are drawn together and she's so close Wei Ying can smell her. Sweat and something beneath it. maybe her deodorant. She gets a completely inexplicable urge to stick her face into Lenten's armpit, which is weird as fuck. What the hell is wrong with her? Wing attempts to shake it off.
You still could have backed me up.
Wing grumbles, feeling some of the anger recede now that she's having a human conversation about it and not stewing in her own head.
My team wouldn't have thanked me for it.
Lenten says archly and, despite herself, Wing snorts.
Yeah, well, whatever.
She reaches into her locker for her shampoo and body wash.
Wing,
Lenten says quietly.
What?
Wing can't look at her for some reason. Her hand is still on her body wash bottle, the feeling of it cool on her overheated skin.
You played well.
Startled, Wing turns towards her and... has Lenten gotten even closer to her?
Really?
She blurts out. And the strangest thing happens. One corner of Lenten's mouth begins to lift, as though in a smile? Is that a smile? Wing blinks rapidly. It is! Lenten has given her a grin, or what would probably be a grin on anyone else, but a Lenten is a restrained sort of lift to her mouth, but it's unmistakable. Wing can't stop herself from grinning back, unable to believe it.
Wing,
Lenten says, then stops. She bites her lower lip in an uncharacteristic show of, what, nerves? Is she nervous? Then says,
Wing, would you like to?
There you are!
Wing jumps at Wing Ting's familiar voice. When she glances up at Lenten, all expression is gone, and Lenten is just Lenten again, cool and untouchable. Wing's heart plummets down to her toes, though she couldn't say why exactly.
Here I am,
she says, looking beyond Lenten at her best friend.
What's up? Are you going to sulk here all night?
Wincing has clearly already showered and gotten dressed. They've got plans to go for ramen afterwards. Wayne needs to get a move on.
Yeah, no, sorry, I'm just... sorry.
She glances over at Lenten, then lowers her gaze.
What were you...
Nothing.
Lenten says coolly.
Excuse me.
And then she walks past Wayne to her own locker, as though we weren't even there. Wing feels like screaming. She grimaces, waves Wincing away, then undresses quickly, shoving her dirty clothes in her bag, and heads to the showers, pretending as though she weren't hoping for Lenten to watch her walk away.
Anything you'd like to tell me?
Wincing asks once they're seated with a ramen steaming before them.
What do you mean?
Wing asks, picking up a spoonful and blowing on it.
God, she loves ramen. You and Lenten. What was that? Were you arguing about the game or something? What? No!
Wing sets her spoon down without drinking any of her soup.
We weren't.
Actually, she was saying that it had been an unfair call. Wincing snorts.
But a lot of good that did us.
Well, it's not like she was going to go against the rest of her team, was she?
Wayne finds herself irritated for no reason at all. Probably the lost game, still smarts.
It was nice of her to, like, say something at least.
Wincing takes a noisy spoonful of ramen into her mouth.
Yes. Nice. That's the word.
What?
Wing asks, fully irritated now.
Do you have something to say?
Proudly sensing her shifting mood, Wincing lowers her spoon and gives her a penetrating look.
You okay?
Wing slumps back against the back of her seat.
Yes. Fine. I don't know.
She runs a hand over her face, happy she didn't put on makeup after the game.
Wing?
Wincing's careful tone shocks Wing into dropping her hand. She groans, pushes the full bowl of ramen away from herself, and drops her face onto the table.
I'm so confused, Qingqing.
She feels it when Wenqing pats her head.
Sexuality crisis? Wayne groans again, louder this time.
I don't even fucking know.
She leaves her head, though stays slumped over, and looks at Wenqing, pleading.
How can I be having a sexuality crisis at 26? Shouldn't I, like, know by now?
Wenqing cocks her head. Not necessarily, you know. People come to this at all ages.
Well, not me,
Wayne decides, sitting back up and picking up her spoon.
She's just too much like, I don't know, if she were a guy, she says. I'd be all over that. But she's not. So this isn't a crisis. It's more like...
What? Wenqing asks, dry. A neuron misfiring?
Yes!
Wayne latches onto it with all her might.
Exactly! And I haven't been on a date in forever. I miss it.
You're horny and Lenchen's the target?
Wayne gasps.
I'm not horny for Lenchen. That's weird, Wenqing.
No.
She clears her throat, then looks down at the soup she has yet to taste.
I miss kissing, I think. I'm like horny for closeness. And she called me pretty.
I see.
Mercifully, Wenqing doesn't say anything else, and they both finally talk into their soup, slurping up its warm deliciousness with much glee.
Wayne isn't horny for Lenchen, because that would mean she isn't straight, and that's just not true.
Wayne is straight. If she weren't, she'd know by now. She's never been attracted to a woman before, at least not that she can remember. But she's been plenty attracted to men, enjoyed kissing them, enjoyed sex with at least one of them, at least once.
No, this is just a diversion on her way to find her one true love.
Lenchen means nothing, really. Just a person Wayne is trying to befriend who keeps upending her plans. She thinks about Lenchen's contact info in her phone and wonders what Lenchen would say if Wayne invited her out for ramen, the way she'd invited Wenqing. Would she say yes? Or find an excuse not to go? Wayne has no idea, and she's too afraid to try. She eats her ramen and tells herself firmly to stop thinking about Lenchen.
Why is she so obsessed with her anyway?
Silly, really. She focuses on her ramen and on Wenqing and forgets about Lenchen for a full 5 minutes. Lenchen is already on the court 3 weeks later when they're playing her team again. Wayne is determined to win this time, and no controversy. She's come with a game plan and a good deal of anger to fuel her fire. But seeing Lenchen standing quietly on the court, waiting for the rest of her team to file in, makes Wayne stop in her tracks. Lenchen turns to her, and in the long second when their eyes meet, Wayne feels her knees do something funny where they feel like they're melting a little bit. She shakes it off, gives Lenchen a casual nod, and takes up her own position on the court. Lenchen's gaze follows her, but she doesn't so much as give a nod back, which is weird. God, she's so weird! Wayne decides she finds that annoying and deliberately doesn't look at Lenchen again, waiting for her team to join her. Wayne plays like she's never played before. She's still all hit up from the last time they played these guys, and she is on fire, if she does say so herself. She calls for ball after ball, and their setter keeps giving them to her because she keeps getting them past Lenchen and the rest of the blockers to land inbounds, thank you very much, and she racks up points for her team. By the last set, she's absolutely dripping with sweat, her face and limbs radiating heat. She's never felt better, never felt more powerful or stronger, and whenever her eyes land on Lenchen, Lenchen is watching her, and not in the way that an opponent watches you for signs and weaknesses and all the ways they can defeat you either. No. Lenchen is watching her as though she can't look at anything else. her gaze heavy, almost like a physical thing. Wayne does her best to ignore it, but she can't. Her gaze pulled back to Lenten again and again. She tells herself that's because Lenten is her main rival right now. Lenten is the one to beat, and she almost, almost believes it. They win, and Wei Ying all but collapses on the floor, held up only by her teammates' arms wrapped around her as they jump up and down and high-five. She lingers on the court, not wanting to leave just yet, and by the time the last of her teammates is gone, most have decided to head straight home without using the showers at the gym, she expects to be basically alone in the locker room. However, as she comes around the corner to her locker, she stops dead. Lenten is sitting on the bench, still wearing her uniform, checking her phone with her elbows resting on her spread thighs. At Wayne's approach, she looks up and their gazes meet. Lenten's grip on her phone appears to slacken, and Wayne gets caught looking at her elegant, balanced wrists. Then she drags her gaze back up to Lenten's.
"Good game,"
Lenten says. God, her voice is deep. It shivers through Wei Ying with all the resonance of a gong.
"Thanks," she says as brightly as she can manage. "Makes up for last time."
Still watching her, Lenten gets up and takes a step towards Wei Ying, managing to loom over her despite their negligible height difference. Wei Ying swallows, breath caught in her throat. She knows she must look like a startled bird, a prey caught in the gaze of a predator. She waits.
"Last time,"
Lenten begins,
"I was going to ask you a question."
"You said it was nothing,"
Wayne manages, still looking at those amber eyes of hers, serious and intent, intent on Wayne.
"I lied," Lenten says easily. "I didn't want an audience."
"Oh,"
Wayne breathes. She's deeply aware of her own sweat breaking all over her skin, at the back of her neck and under her arms, between her legs and behind her knees. Lenten leans against a closed locker, Wayne's locker, one she hasn't even gotten a chance to open yet, and assesses Wayne with a once-over that sends heat boiling through her. If she didn't know any better, she'd think...
"What is it?"
she asks, unable to wait any longer.
"What did you want to ask me?"
She becomes aware of how quiet it is around them. Most people have left. There might be one or two stragglers, and then she hears the locker room door open and shut, and then nothing. Silence. She and Lenten are the last two people left in the place. The feeling turns intimate and dangerous. Wayne's heart pounds hard in her chest. And instead of replying, Lenten continues to look at her. The pounding in Wayne's chest intensifies. She can feel how wide her eyes are, feel how much she's sweating, and not from the game. Lenten's eyes are half-lidded now, and her posture is insouciant, relaxed. Her hands are in her pockets. She's watching Wayne with an intense sort of curiosity. Wayne falls back on what she knows best, laughing it off.
"Well, what is it? You're being super intense right now, Lenten. What did I do wrong this time?"
"This time?"
Lenten asks.
"Well, you know," Wayne waves a breezy hand around. "You're always so serious. I feel like I'm constantly doing something wrong in your eyes. You don't want to be my friend, remember?"
Which stings still, and has been stinging this whole time.
"You've done nothing wrong,"
Lenten says quietly, her gaze sharper now, but posture still relaxed.
"Then why are you always so mean?"
Wayne asks before she can stop herself, then feels utterly foolish.
"What is this, school?"
Lenten leans away from the locker then, and advances one more step, which puts her face to face with Wei Ying.
This is where their high difference becomes pronounced, and Wayne looks up at her, eyes wide, and waits, her throat dry and heart rabbiting in her chest. Lan Chen doesn't say a word as she lifts one hand and then, as Wayne watches, wraps it around the back of Wayne's neck and pulls her forward. Wayne stumbles against her, shocked to her very core, and her hands fly up to Lan Chen's sternum before she can fully fall against her.
Lan Chen?
She whispers, and it's the last thing she says before Lan Chen's mouth is on hers, and she's been kissed so hard it feels almost like punishment. Wayne makes a tiny noise of protest, which is all but drowned out by the rushing in her ears. The kiss is strong, Lan Chen's hand on her nape even stronger, and Lan Chen wrenches Wayne's head back, which forces her mouth open, and then Lan Chen's tongue is in her mouth, and Wayne moans, shuddering, as she seems to fall into some sort of mirrorverse where up is down, left is right, and Wayne is kissing a woman and getting shockingly turned on from it. It's that realization that makes her yank away from Lan Chen's sinking mouth, both hands pushing back.
Lan Chen, wait!
A strand of hair has escaped Lan Chen's tiny pony, and it looks both rakish and incongruous somehow. Lan Chen should always be put together. Wayne forces her thoughts back to where they belong.
What are you...
What does it look like?
Lan Chen asks evenly, the only evidence that she's been kissing her slightly reddish lips.
But I'm straight,
Wayne says, and it sounds weak even to her ears.
Shall we find out?
Lan Chen says archly, with a hint of a laugh just barely escaping. Wayne flushes.
But you said we weren't becoming friends.
Lan Chen's gaze, if anything, darkens even more.
We aren't.
And then she's a breath away again, hand running up the back of Wayne's head, tugging on her ponytail.
I don't want to be your friend,
she breathes. And then she seals her mouth over Wing's open one and twists them around so she can push Wing up against the row of lockers. Wing gasps. Something hard is sticking into her back, but she's barely aware of it because Lan Chen is on her, tongue invading her mouth in a hot, smooth slide, hand sliding down her neck, then around to her chest, and then... Wing moans, shocked, as Lan Chen's hand runs over her tit, thumb digging in a little meanly. Wayne doesn't have much up top, so her sports bra is nominal and thinner than the kind the other girls tend to wear. She feels the touch just like she feels Lan Chen's thigh making room for itself in between Wayne's. Wayne becomes aware of all the places where her body is straining towards Lan Chen's. Her tongue, her chest, the arch of her back bringing them belly to belly, and her pussy pulsing against Lan Chen's thigh. She groans, feeling lightheaded. She's never been more turned on with another person before in her life. She can't think. She can barely account for herself as a person and not just a conduit of hot, pulsating need. Lan Chen pulls away and Wayne kneels at the loss of her hot mouth, the loss of her breath and tongue. But Lan Chen doesn't go far. Her smirk is barely there, but so present it's seared into Wayne's brain. And that smirk, it's the only reason it takes Wayne a moment to realize that Lan Chen is tugging on her jersey and shoving it up. Wayne raises her arms automatically, screaming at herself internally for doing it in the first place, and the jersey gets dropped to the floor. What is she doing? What is Lan Chen doing? What are they?
Lan Chen, wait.
Lan Chen pauses, hands hot across Wayne's ribcage, encompassing her skin. It feels stretched too tight, too sensitive. She feels like she's embodying herself for the very first time. These are my ribs. This is my skin. This is myself. Lan Chen doesn't say anything, only raises an eyebrow. Unmoving. Waiting. Wayne is aware of her rapid breathing, her chest rising up and down, up and down.
She can stop this, probably. And she can go back to her normal life and her normal desires. Lenchen's thigh is still hard up against her, and she becomes aware of how slick she is. How needy. Her entire body is flooded with want. She starts moving without her own volition, just small, tight movements of her hips, just for some relief. Lenchen's gaze sharpens. And then she's no longer waiting for Wing's express permission, but taking what she, apparently, incredibly, wants. Her mouth is on Wing, all over her. Her lips, her jaw, sucking on her neck. Fuck, she's gonna leave a mark. Wing whines, shocked into it, shocked at how incredible it feels. And it takes her another sluggish moment to realize that she's clutching Lenchen's back, feeling the muscle working beneath the synthetic material of her jersey. An embarrassing noise escapes her mouth as Lenchen's thigh relaxes between her own, and then it's gone altogether, and Wayne says, "No, come back," and feels her face flushing. That's when she realizes that she has to smell. She's still sweaty from the game, after all. Never got into the shower. And she tries fruitlessly to push Lenchen away. "Wait, I'm gross. Don't. I'm sweaty." Lenchen doesn't even bother pulling away as she begins to sink down, mouth creating a hot trail down Wayne's neck and chest. "Lenchen."
"Smells good,"
Lenchen mumbles, making Wayne flush and squirm. And then she's on her knees in front of Wayne, giving her absolutely no room to breathe as she tucks down her shorts and allows them to pull on the floor at Wayne's feet, Wayne too shocked to react.
I don't.
Lenchen leans in, and Wayne's words dry up on her tongue as Lenchen sticks her face unerringly between Wayne's slightly spread thighs, where she's slick and pulsing.
Fuck.
Lenchen groans in response. A real, honest-to-God groan, the kind of noise that Wayne would never have imagined her capable of. And she squirms in response, attempts to wrench Lenchen's head away.
"Don't, I'm so disgusting, don't I smell like I want you," she doesn't say.
Predictably, though, Lenchen doesn't pull away. Instead, she grabs onto Wayne's hips with her hot hands and then yanks down her underwear, which falls away with ease, as though unaware of Wayne's numerous objections. Wayne gasps as she's exposed to the air, her mind pinging back and forth. She hasn't trimmed in a bit, and she must smell wretched. She's exposed. Anyone could walk in and... Lenchen grabs Wayne's thigh and shoves it aside, and then she's... And then she's... Wayne cries out, and her head thuds loudly against the locker she's shoved up against. Lenchen's tongue is hot, smooth, unerringly finding Wayne's clit and stroking, then stroking all over, gathering Wayne's lick and moving it around. Wayne feels swollen with need, and the relief of Lenchen's mouth is almost enough to override any of her objections. Almost, but not quite. She gathers all of her strength, takes hold of Lenchen's head, and pushes her away, forcing Lenchen to look up at her. The bottom half of her face is already glistening with Wing. Wing has never found that sexy before. Has never.
"Lenchen, you can't. We,
What?
Lenchen asks, her voice a quiet rasp.
"Not into it."
Wing wants to say no. Wants to say stop. But she can't make herself. Her whole body is straining towards Lenchen. She's never... It's never been... It's never felt like this. "I'm gross," she says weakly. "I'm so sweaty and..." She can't say too wet, so she flushes instead. And Lenchen holds her gaze as she leans back in and takes a deliberate lick, forcing a hiss and a shudder out of Wing. Then she does it again, her gaze on Wing's unflinching.
Her hands on Wing's hips are hot brands, and for one wild moment, Wing thinks they are the only things holding her together. And then one hand, and it's strong, long-fingered, and elegant, moves deliberately closer to the middle until Lenten is skating it through Wing's hair and down and in between, and Wing cries out, eyes sliding shut of their own accord, and then she has no strength for any objections because Lenten begins to work her hand and tongue in tandem, and Wing loses any semblance of control she might have had. Her voice is loud in the silent locker room, her voice and the obscene noises of Lenten's mouth and hand on her, slick, dirty sounds that somehow misfire and, instead of embarrassing her, make Wing more needy and turned on. Lenten's fingers inside her fill her up in a way that makes her push her hips out more, and every time she does, Lenten's tongue is there for relief, stroking her up and down, fast and hard, and just how she needs it. It's never felt. She becomes aware of her hand slipping against the lockers, moving over her head, unable to settle. It's too much. She's out of control. Her voice and her body are betraying just how good Lenten is making her feel, the incredible pleasure she's wringing from her. And still, her orgasm takes her almost completely by surprise. One moment she's feeling every single bit of pleasure that a person could possibly feel, and the next, all pleasure swells like a wave gathering over her head and crests, making her spasm and tremble against Lenten's face. Her voice breaks on a cry. It lasts for what seems like forever, this hot, pulsating overflow of pleasure. And then it becomes too much, and she moans, attempting to close her legs to ride out the rest of it. Lenten sleeps out easily, pulling away and letting Wing's thigh drop, and then she rests her head against Wing's hip, and her hot, hard breath tickles Wing's oversensitive skin.
Fucking hell!
Wing pants, hand landing softly around the back of Lenten's head.
What was... I can't... Fuck!
There's a huff of laughter, and for a moment, Wing can't believe it came from Lenten. Then Lenten is pulling back and looking up at her, and there it is. A grin, smug and self-satisfied.
Still think you're straight?
Lenten asks, her hands still hot around Wing's naked hips. Wing doesn't know what to say. In the span of a few minutes, Lenten has rewired both her body and her brain, and Wing has no idea what she is, apart from wrung out and still, somehow, turned on, despite having come her brains out not even a minute ago.
You don't have to decide yet,
Lenten says magnanimously, then rises to her feet, and backs Wing up impossibly until she's all but squished against the lockers.
I guess the jury is still out.
Another smirk, this time smaller. It feels more intimate than Lenten's mouth all over her business. How is that even possible? And then Lenten doesn't let her respond in any way and kisses her, dirty and deep. She tastes... Fuck, is that what Wing tastes like? Guys have never kissed her after going down on her, and it's not like it was such a frequent occurrence anyway. But now, is this what a woman tastes like? Wing chases the taste even as she isn't certain what she thinks of it, and it isn't until her hands are rubbing against Lenten's undergut that she realizes just how into kissing Lenten she is. A stray thought enters her mind. It wouldn't be this hot if she were a guy. And she almost laughs, picturing Wincing's face if she ever said that out loud. Lenten is panting by the time she pulls back, and a lance of heat goes through Wing at that. She's done that. She's made Lenten feel like this. Fuck. Lenten. Wing finds her hands clenched around Lenten's jersey
and it occurs to her.
You're still dressed.
Lanchan's eyebrow rises infinitesimally.
You want me to undress?
Wei Ying, still wearing her sports bra and, ridiculously, her knee pads, lifts her chin in a challenge.
Seems only fair.
Wordlessly, Lanchan steps back and slips her jersey off of herself the way a boy would from the back. She allows it to land on the bench, unlike Wei Ying's clothes, which are strewn about the floor. Then she hooks her thumbs into the waistband of her shorts and shoves them down as well. She's wearing a white sports bra, darker at the bottom from sweat, and men's boxer briefs in gray. Wei Ying's gaze zeroes in on the cut of her hips and her neat belly button, and her pussy gives a weak pulse, like it's interested.
Fuck. Is it?
And then Wei Ying's thoughts scramble all together as Lanchan goes for her sports bra and tugs it off of herself.
Her breasts are
right there. They're not huge or anything, but still bigger than Wei Ying's, and Wei Ying feels her hand twitch as though it wants to touch. To cup both breasts and her nipples are dark and hard. When Wei Ying unwillingly drags her gaze up and away, Lanchan is watching her with barely concealed amusement.
Seen enough?
Not to be outdone. She has to win something here. Wei Ying raises her chin in another challenge. No.
We're pretty even right now.
Between them, they're wearing a bra and underwear, along with two pairs of knee pads. Wei Ying should feel ridiculous, but doesn't. Fine. I'll go first. She says, and leans down to undo the stupid knee pads. Once done, she goes for her bra. It's not like she hasn't already undressed in front of Lanchan. She just hadn't realized that Lanchan might be interested. Feeling almost defiant, she wriggles out of her bra, and there, she's naked now, all on display. Lanchan's gaze on her is gratifyingly intense. Now you, Wei Ying says, putting her hands on her hips like she's a grandma. Lanchan's lips form a tight smirk as she leans down and takes off her knee pads, throwing them on the floor, and then she's hooking her thumbs in her waistband and shoving her underwear down. Wei Ying's mouth goes dry.
That's a lot of naked Lanchan right in front of her.
Whenever Wei Ying has been naked with another person in this context before, she's always felt sort of intimidated, and like she wasn't sure what she was meant to be doing. Well, she'd known, obviously, and had done it, but it was as though every time she had to make herself go through the motions. Now, stroke them here, kiss them there. Something about Lanchan is making her want to do everything at once, and it overwhelms her, desire slamming into her and making her winded.
Still think you're straight?
Lanchan's mocking words swirl around in her brain, and Wei Ying shoves them aside, shoves everything aside, in favor of simply taking Lanchan in. She's stunning, is the thing. White shoulders, narrow waist, and the flare of her hips beneath her waist makes Wing's hands itch to touch her there, see what it feels like. She's got strong, lean thighs, her hips and abs defined, marking her as the athlete that she is. She's got a full bush, too, which Wing realizes she finds hot as hell. She has a sudden vision of getting in between Lanchan's legs and... Lanchan steps close and crowds her against the lockers again, not letting her breathe.
What do you want to do?
She asks, and it's so quiet, it's just barely above a whisper. Wei Ying swallows, her throat is dry, and says,
We should have a lot of sex.
Fuck.
Shower. I need to shower.
Wordlessly, Lantern reaches into her own open locker and takes out soap and shampoo, then wraps her hand around Wei-Ying's wrist. It all but disappears in her large grip and tucks them away in the direction of the showers.
Oh, so they're going to... together? Okay.
Wayne stumbles after her, unable to look away from Lenten's ass, which is both firm and soft at once, and Wayne wants her hands all over it. Lenten goes for a shower stall and pulls Wayne in after her, then sets her soap and shampoo on a shelf.
This is going to be cold.
She warns right before she turns on the water, and Wayne's breath leaves her all at once as frigid water pours over them both.
She can't help it. She shrieks. Lenten! Don't you know to turn the water on first and then get in?
Lenten, smirk nearly lost amid the water, shrugs.
It warms up quickly enough.
And so it does, but Wayne is still fuming.
You know, you could have been nicer, but...
The rest of the sentence gets lost in Lenten's mouth, and Wayne moans, unable to keep it inside. Lenten's mouth feels so good on hers, and she's tasting both Lenten and the water that keeps pouring over them, turning hotter with each second. All that skin against her feels incredible. Lenten feels incredible. Eventually, Lenten pulls away, and they actually wash themselves. For a wild second, Wayne thinks Lenten is going to wash her, but Lenten simply hands her the soap and then goes for the shampoo to wash her own hair while Wayne takes care of her body. They swap. And then, after they've rinsed all the sots off and are squeaky clean, Wayne can no longer contain herself and grabs Lenten by the waist, pulling her close. An infinitesimal raise of Lenten's eyebrow at that.
Still want it?
Wayne bites her lip. She doesn't want to give Lenten the satisfaction of saying yes, but the truth is, she does. She wants it so badly, her mouth waters and her hands tingle. Her pussy is throbbing just from being this close to Lenten and being able to touch her. So, instead of using her words the way she usually does, Wayne touches her. Her ass, which she squeezes with a lot of satisfaction, then up to her back, around her front, and finally, cupping her breasts in both hands. The weight of them feels so good, and before she knows it, she's leaning in and sucking in one nipple. It tastes clean, like skin, and feels nice in her mouth. Above her, Lenten's gasp is almost lost under the spray. Almost. Wayne grins to herself, pulls back, and does the same thing with the other breast, earning herself a tight groan.
Lenten's got sensitive nipples, then.
Wayne doesn't. Never has. No matter how much the dudes she's been with have wanted to play with her breasts and incorporate them into things, it's always been like, eh. But Lenten is clearly feeling this. Wayne starts to wonder where else she's sensitive, where else Wayne can lick and taste her. Slowly, she runs her hands down Lenten's body. Her abs, her hips, the skin below her belly button. And then her fingers encounter tight curls, and Lenten grips her wrist and pulls it away, pinning it against the shower stall wall, looming over her. How does she do that?
Lenten?
Wayne asks in confusion. Doesn't Lenten want Wayne to touch her?
Sure, Wayne has very little idea of what she's doing and would probably fumble it, at least at first, but...
We can leave that for later.
Lenten murmurs in her ear.
Don't know if you've earned it yet.
Earned it?
Wayne struggles against Lenten's grip.
What the hell does that mean?
Lenten pulls back, and they watch each other underneath the shower spray. Wayne feels it overheated, and as though she might drown at any moment.
Do you want to come home with me?
Nanchan asks instead of answering Wing's very valid question.
Oh.
Wing blinks, her heart rate picking up.
Come home with Lantern.
To continue this, presumably. Perhaps earn it and get to touch her, see what that feels like. Wing wonders if she'd actually like touching another woman that intimately. After all, so far all they've done is kiss and Lantern has gone down on her, which obviously felt incredible. But Wing wasn't exactly an active participant.
Yes, she says before she can think better of it. Take me home.
Shall we find out?
Well, she guesses they shall. It doesn't take long for them to get dressed again, and Wayne tries hard not to stare as Lantern transforms from a naked goddess to a lesbian dream in her jeans and t-shirt with a leather jacket thrown over it. She's left her hair to air dry and not put it back up in that little ponytail, so it's framing her face as she blatantly watches Wayne get dressed. Wayne hurries up, wondering the whole time how they'll be getting to Lantern's. Does Lantern drive, by chance? That would be easiest. Wayne takes buses and bikes everywhere. Once outside, she stops and stares.
Oh.
Is that yours? She asks. Lantern, who's already approached the white motorcycle and taken out her keys, raises her eyebrows as though Wayne has asked a stupid question. Which she supposes she has.
Wow, is it safe?
Depends on how you drive it.
Lantern says, then pulls a helmet out of her backpack.
Here.
Wayne looks down at it. It's also white.
What about you?
It's not far. I'll be fine.
No, you can't without a helmet?
It's not ideal,
Lantern admits.
But I'm guessing you've never been on a bike before.
Wing hasn't, obviously. She doesn't know anyone who rides, but she's always secretly wanted to. A little thrill runs through her belly. She's getting to do a lot of things she's never done before tonight. Against her better judgment, she takes the helmet.
Fine. But how far is it?
Less than 10 minutes.
Wayne fits the helmet onto her head, her vision immediately going darker due to the visor being down. She fumbles with the chin strap and Lantern replaces her hands on it and buckles the strap in. Then she flips open the visor.
So you can see better.
Wayne nods. Then Lantern takes her through it. Let me get on first, then swing your leg around. Hold on tight. Don't be scared. You won't fall off.
It'll feel a lot faster than it is.
Nerves making her tremble a little bit, Wayne takes this all in with a nod.
What about your backpack? Won't it get in the way?
Wayne also wonders if her own backpack won't make things more difficult, but decides not to ask the question because it feels stupid. Wordlessly, Lantern takes off her backpack and fits it onto the back of the bike, where it appears to hang safely.
Oh, okay.
And then Lantern is grabbing the handles, swinging her long leg over the bike and looking over at Wing.
Get on, Wing.
Wing obeys, sort of awkwardly.
Thank God she's not wearing a skirt this time, but jeans.
The raised seat fits her right up against Lantern and, feeling shyer than she probably should, Wing wraps her arms around Lantern's middle. It's strange how intimate this feels, especially after having already showered together, not to mention the sex. But Wing clings onto Lantern and doesn't let go. She gives a little shriek as the bike takes off, but then the fear turns into exhilaration.
This is amazing!
It does feel fast, much faster than a car, even though they're going only a bit faster than the traffic. They're zipping in between cars, wind on either side, and Wayne can barely breathe, but she doesn't need to. Lantern is a warm presence in her arms,
all up against Wayne's front, and Wayne squirms with it a little, with the closeness of it. It takes no time at all to get to Lenchen's building, which is a high rise and looks, weirdly swanky. Is Lenchen rich? How much do editors make, anyway? Wayne wonders if she's even got roommates, like Wei Ying, who's got two. Lenchen parks in the underground garage and cuts the engine. For a long moment, Wayne still clings to her, as though scared to let go. But then Lenchen shifts and looks back at her, and Wayne lets go immediately, scrambling up and off the bike.
Sorry. Here.
She manages to unbuckle the chin strap and take off her helmet, thrusting it at Lenchen. Lenchen takes it leisurely, then goes for the backpack and unbuckles it, throwing it over one shoulder.
What did you think?
She asks.
The bike, you mean?
Wayne asks, like an idiot.
Yes,
Lenchen says, enunciating it.
She looks, well, the same as she always looks, except there's some amusement hidden in her expression that Wayne decides not to take personally.
It was awesome,
she confesses, tucking her hair behind her ears.
Is that how you get everywhere?
Yes,
Lenchen tells her, then turns around and begins leading them towards the exit.
It's quickest. No need to stand in traffic all the time.
That must be nice, Wayne says wistfully. I mean, I do that on my bike a lot, but it's, you know, more work.
I could tell that you bike,
Lenchen says matter-of-factly.
What? How?
Your thighs.
Wayne nearly swallows her tongue. She flushes from her head down to her toes.
Oh.
Lenchen doesn't bother looking at her as they walk, but she does put a hand on Wayne's back, under her backpack, in order to steer her towards the bank of elevators. Wayne goes where she's led, her heart sort of pounding. While they were riding, she'd almost forgotten what she was coming here to do. But now that they're back on solid ground and in Lenchen's building, it comes flooding back to her. Kissing Lenchen. Lenchen on her knees, the two of them making out in the shower. So far, they've only been vertical. What the hell is going to happen once they get horizontal? Wayne shivers with possibilities. A part of her wants to send an SOS text to Wen Qing.
Help! I mean, over my head! What do lesbians do with that?
But she couldn't exactly be subtle about it if she did, and anyway, she doesn't think she wants the world to intrude on whatever it is that is happening between them. Not yet, anyway. This feels like a dream world, outside of everything she knows. She's not ready to merge her real life with this yet. Lenchen is on the 20th floor, apparently, and the ride up is excruciating. Other people get on the lobby level and get off at the 5th, and 8th, and 10th floors, until finally they're the only two people left in the elevator, and no matter how hard Wayne stares at Lenchen, Lenchen won't meet her eye, staring at the number display instead. Wayne swallows and puts her eyes up front too. Her heart is ready to pound straight out of her chest. Finally, the elevator dips lightly, that strange gravitational pull, and the door slowly slides open. Lenchen stares her out of it and to the left. Even the hallway looks fancy somehow. Modern decor, everything about it screaming money. Lenchen has to be rich to be able to afford to live in this part of the city, in this building, on this floor.
My brother Jiang Cheng lives not too far from here,
Wayne says nonsensically, attempting to fill in the silence.
Like less than a 10-minute walk.
Lenchen takes out her keys and unlocks her door. Number 2011.
Good year, Wayne thinks a little hysterically.
Do you have roommates? Wayne asks as he walks through the darkened doorway. Lenchen flips on the lights and sets down her helmet and backpack.
No,
she says, and then the door is shutting behind Wei Ying, and she's being backed up against it. Lenchen's body close and hot and all up in her business.
You really enjoy doing that,
Wayne blurts out.
Shit, she hadn't meant to say that out loud.
Lenchen says agreeably.
Take off your backpack.
She pulls away slightly to allow Wayne to do that. Wayne drops the backpack on the floor and lifts her chin defiantly.
Now what?
And then Lenchen is leaning down, grabbing her by the back of her thighs and hoisting her up. Wayne yelps from surprise and automatically wraps her arms around Lenchen's neck, clinging on like a monkey.
Lenchen!
Lenchen doesn't respond in words. Her hands feel huge on the backs of Wayne's thighs, and just as she's registering this fact, Lenchen is kissing her already. Open mouth, dirty, slick kisses that make Wayne's stomach writhe and her pussy clench.
Fuck, that's so fucking hot.
She does her best to give as good as she's getting, and then they're moving through Lenchen's hallway, Wayne registering exactly none of her surroundings until they're through a doorway and in Lenchen's bedroom. It's dark out and dark inside, and Wayne wonders if Lenchen will bother with turning on the lights. She's always liked sex in the dark better. There was something slightly off-putting about being able to see herself while in the middle of things. But a part of her wants to see Lenchen naked again. A big part of her. So maybe she can endure lights on for that. All of this, she thinks dizzily, as Lenchen continues to devour her in a mind-searing kiss, and she doesn't get what Lenchen wants from her once they reach Lenchen's bed and stop, until Lenchen pulls away and says,
"Let go."
And Wayne does. She lands on her ass on the bed, bouncing once, and then the dark shape of Lenchen is leaning over and flicking on the bedside lamp. Well, there goes that question. Wayne blinks a little, even though the light is low, intimate. She looks at Lenchen, who's watching her back, and her eyes are so dark they're almost all pupil. Wordlessly, Lenchen sheds her jacket and flings it over onto a chair, then goes for her t-shirt, taking it off the same way she'd rid herself of her jersey. Her bra is a simple white cotton one. Wayne had glimpsed it back in the locker room. And then Lenchen is dropping down to her knees in front of Wayne.
Get undressed,
she orders. That's when it occurs to Wayne that she's still wearing her shoes and she's on Lenchen's bed. That's so gross. And she goes to scramble up off the bed to get rid of them when the hand on her ankle stops her.
Lenchen?
She asks, uncertain. Lenchen doesn't answer, and she doesn't look at Wayne as she reaches for her sneaker laces and begins to undo them. Wayne's breath catches in her throat.
Is Lenchen going to take off her sneakers for her? Why does that feel so weird, so transgressive, almost possessive?
A dark shiver runs through Wayne as Lenchen tucks the shoe off of her and throws it down. Then, still without looking at her, Lenchen slips off Wayne's sock. Wayne really hopes her feet don't smell. Lenchen performs the same routine with the other shoe and sock until Wayne is barefoot, legs spread, with Lenchen in between them. Remembering Lenchen's order, Wayne begins to strip out of her shirt, only to be arrested by Lenchen's hands gripping her hips and pulling her forward. Wayne's breathing speeds up as Lenchen buries her face right in between Wayne's legs and rolls her forehead back and forth like she's... Wayne doesn't know. It's so quiet in the room, in the apartment. All she can hear is her own breathing and Lenchen's, feeling it puff against her. She wants to ask what it is that Lenchen wants, but she doesn't want to disturb the silence. Instead, she allows things to unfold as Lenchen pulls back, reaches for Wayne's jeans button and fly, and undoes them methodically. She taps Wayne's hips in a universal lift-up sign, and Wayne does. Lenchen shoves her jeans down and then tucks them off, one leg at a time, until Wing is left in her underwear and shirt. She endures it when Lenchen runs her hot hands all the way up Wing's bare thighs, making her shiver and turning her on something vicious. Lenchen's touch feels almost reverent, which is so strange, really. Why would she be reverent about Wing? Lenchen ends her journey with her fingers hooped around Wing's panties, which are cute, thank God, and not her old tattered pair she wears whenever it's laundry day and she's too lazy to actually go to the laundromat. Lenchen tucks, and Wing automatically lifts up, allowing Lenchen to undress her further. Then she's left in her shirt and bra, and that won't do, so Wing takes the initiative to shock off her shirt and unclasp her bra, allowing to fall into her lap. That's when Lenchen looks up at her, her eyes so, so dark, her mouth slightly open, the hint of tongue behind her white teeth, a tantalizing peek, and says,
"Beautiful."
Wing flushes head to toe, pleasure swirling in her belly. She's completely on display with Lenchen between her legs, and she thinks maybe it's good that the light is on. It's soft anyway, illuminating them, but not glaring. She clears her throat and says, "You've already seen me."
"And I thought you beautiful then, too."
Lenchen says smoothly, right before leaning in and putting her mouth right above Wing's mouth. Wing both hears and feels her inhale, her face flaming. Thank God they showered. At least she knows she's clean now, even though apparently that hadn't been a problem for Lenchen earlier. At all. Which had been hot as hell, actually. Lenchen doesn't let her think for long, though, because the next moment, she shifts and puts her mouth directly on Wing's pussy, open and hot. Wing gasps, hips automatically thrusting up against Lenchen before she can stop them. Fuck! Lenchen starts to eat her out. Again. And again, it feels incredible. It's as though she knows exactly how to drive Wing the most crazy. And Wing has never been able to come twice in one night. It's just been one of those things, but the more Lenchen goes down on her, the more turned on she feels, the more she realizes that she's close, all of a sudden. Fuck, she's close! And she grips the back of Lenten's head as though scared she'll move away and end the amazing feeling between Wing's legs. But Lenten isn't going anywhere. She's eating her out with so much enthusiasm, making these muffled noises, like she's loving what she's doing, which is... We'll have to try doing that herself, after all. If this is what it's like for Lenten... Of course, Wing might not like it, but... Fuck, Lenchen! Lenchen, fuck! Lenchen licks her out steady and firm, spitting up as Wing's hips start to circle of their own volition as she chases her orgasm. She cries out as it hits her, a rocking, pulsating pleasure that racks her whole body, making her shudder. Her thighs are wrapped tightly around Lenchen's head as she rides it out, trembling, her voice the only sound in the room. Finally, it's over, and she falls backwards, her legs falling open once more, boneless. Lenchen is breathing hard, but where Wei Ying expects her to stop and breathe, she instead is already kissing the insides of Wei Ying's thighs, kissing and sucking, and Wing cries out, biting, right on the most sensitive parts of her, where the skin feels thinnest and the pain most keen.
Lenchen!
Lenchen doesn't respond because she's too busy continuing her assault on Wing's thighs. Her eyes are closed, eyelashes fluttering, and it hits Wing all at once how fucking stunning she is. Lenchen may be the most beautiful thing Wing has ever seen. The thought steals her breath for a moment, and then she's squarely back in her body as Lenchen bites her inner thigh
and sucks on the flesh it's caught.
It hurts. It hurts, but it's the sort of hurt that goes straight to Wing's pussy. She's trembling still from her orgasm and already feeling turned on again, like she could go again. Fuck.
Lantern.
Lantern hums, her eyes closed as she picks a new spot to attack.
Lantern!
Wing runs her fingers through Lantern's slightly damp hair and squeezes, finally forcing Lantern to look up at her.
Lantern, get naked.
Lantern watches her, looking serious, then rises to her feet in one smooth motion.
Fuck her core!
And goes for her fly. She drops her jeans, and it isn't anything Wayne hasn't seen already. But still, the sight of Lantern in just her underwear is like a punch to the solar plexus. She's so fucking beautiful. Okay, Wayne thinks. Okay, you might be kind of gay. She bites her lip as Lantern slides off her bra, her tits round and peaked, and Wayne squirms, wanting them back in her mouth. And then Lantern is tugging off her underwear, and then she's naked, and getting on the bed over Wayne, and then they're kissing. It all happens sort of between one moment and the next, and Wayne moans as Lantern puts practically her entire weight on her, like slotting in between Wayne's own, her hips moving. Wayne had been right. Horizontal is so much more overwhelming than vertical. She breaks off the kiss and sucks in air. She's so wet and messy, and it's getting all over Lantern's thigh. Oh, God. Before she can say something, though, Lantern is already kissing her neck, beneath her jaw, below her ear, then lower. It feels incredible. Wayne has a highly sensitive neck. And she shivers, hands clutching Lantern's body to hers, keeping her there. Lantern's skin is soft and smooth, all of her is, so the muscle beneath the skin is hard, and Wing is so turned on from touching her, it's insane. She's never felt like this with another person. She's been turned on, sure, and had even gotten off with another person a few times, but never like this. She feels like she's bursting with it, like there's a balloon inside her, expanding, threatening to pop. She tries to breathe and holds onto Lantern for dear life. Lantern kisses and licks her all over, her chest, her tits, her stomach, where her ribs protrude slightly at her sides, her hips. When it looks like she's sliding in between Wayne's legs for round three, however, Wayne makes a decision. Enough orgasms for Wayne, not enough for Lantern.
Nope, come back here.
Lantern watches her dubiously, then, holding her gaze, leans in deliberately and gives Wayne's pussy a delicate little kitten lick. Wayne can't help it. She laughs, slapping a hand over her eyes.
Oh my God, you're insatiable, fucking hell.
Lantern must take that as permission because she gives her another lick and then she fits her thumbs into the grooves of Wing's hips and fucking goes for it again. This orgasm is slower to build and less intense than the previous two, but it still leaves Wing a puddle on top of Lantern's covers. She groans, arm covering her face.
You've given me three orgasms and I haven't even gotten to touch you yet.
Lantern's voice, when it comes, is closer than Wing expects. She lifts her arm and Lantern is right there, watching her with a tight little smirk and those dark eyes, her head propped up on one hand.
Do you want to?
Lantern asks, her voice husky and low.
Yes.
She's still intimidated by the thought, still feels like she'll have no idea what to do even though they've got the same parts, but she wants it
desperately, wants to feel the warmth between Lenten's legs, see if she's gotten wet at all. She swallows and nods several times in quick succession. Lenten huffs out what could be an actual laugh, and then deliberately rolls over onto her back and pulls her knees up so they're spread out. She looks incredible, and Wayne can feel herself flushing just at the sight of her spread legs. She reaches out and lays a hand over Lenten's belly, skating it down, at the same time as she leans down for a kiss. It's easier to do while kissing, she decides. Nobody watching her. Lenten seems receptive to the kiss. She opens up immediately. Wayne takes it as encouragement to carry on, so she does, running her hand all over Lenten's body, avoiding her pussy for now. She feels Lenten everywhere. Her flat belly, her soft breasts, her muscular thighs. Lenten is responsive as she kisses, arching into Wayne's touch, which is just hot as well, and Wayne gets braver. She pulls away from her mouth and begins to pepper Lenten's skin with kisses instead. Her neck, her collarbone, her chest. She takes one breast into her mouth and sucks, eliciting a short sort of cry from Lenten, then moves to the other and repeats, much to the same reaction. She's starting to feel powerful. It's going to her head. She kisses the underside of Lenten's breasts one by one, then down her taut stomach, around her ribs, and her hips. She bites. Lenten is moving now beneath her, her hips making tight little circles, and then Wayne decides that she's teased enough already, settles in between Lenten's legs, and takes a breath. Instead of it feeling clinical, the way she had perhaps expected, seeing Lenten from this angle is fucking incredible. Wing's mouth floods. Wow, okay, so there's her answer. And she leans in, eager for a taste. And, wow, Lenten is so wet. She's so wet, all from fucking Wing into the next millennium, and it's dripping. And Wing moans as she gathers the taste on her tongue and licks her up and down. She doesn't exactly know what she's doing, but hey, she's got a pussy too. Lenten is quiet above her, but her hand on the back of Wing's head is tight, almost to the point of pain. Wing hums and continues her business, finally finding Lenten's clit and licking it the way Lenten had done to her. Lenten curses, hips spasming, and Wayne would do victory arms if her hands weren't otherwise occupied with keeping Lenten's thighs open. Not that she necessarily needs to. But she likes it, likes the control it gives her, likes the feel of Lenten's skin beneath her hands. She's gone down on guys before, and it wasn't exactly her favorite activity. It seemed like the thing to do, especially if they'd gone down on her. It was a reciprocity, and it made them feel good, even if it didn't do much for Wayne. This, though. Holy hell. If only she'd known sex could feel like this. A light-headed, dazing pleasure, so intensely physical, Wayne can't think of anything else. She eats Lenten out with enthusiasm that shocks her, reveling in the taste and feel of her. Lenten, for her part, is gripping Wayne's head and making these quiet noises that Wayne suspects would be moans with anybody else. It's heady, and she feels more and more powerful the closer she gets Lenten to orgasm. She hopes she can get her there. Orgasms can be elusive, and just because something feels good doesn't mean it'll culminate, so to speak. But then Lenten gasps and thrusts up to meet Wing's mouth, and then Wing feels it as Lenten comes, shuddering and smearing slick all over Wing's face. Wing moans, not daring to stop licking her, not until Lenten pushes her away and Wing collapses on top of her hip, attempting to catch her breath.
Her jaw aches, and all she can taste and smell is lantern. She feels fucking amazing. Well, she says once she's gotten her breath back. Did I earn it? Lantern huffs out another small laugh, and Wayne can tell that she's also just barely gotten her breath back.
Not bad for a straight girl.
Wayne can't stop the laugh that bubbles out of her, and she rolls over onto her back, head still pillowed on Lantern's hip, and laughs, and laughs, and laughs, feeling lighter than air. Yeah, not bad for a straight girl. Or, more accurately, former straight girl, now fully aboard the gay train. Women, huh? Who knew? Afterwards, Lantern gets up and brings Wayne a glass of water. Wayne drinks deeply, realizing only now how parched she is. Sex really takes it out of you. She hands the empty glass back to Lantern and collapses back on the bed. Lantern stands over her for a long moment, just watching, and Wayne begins to squirm under her gaze. Does she want Wayne to leave now that they've had sex? She realizes she has no idea how Lantern operates. She decides to lay it out in the open. Do you want me to leave now? Lantern's gaze intensifies, and she puts one knee on the bed, then leans forward until she's trapped Wayne between her arms. Their faces are close enough to feel each other's breath.
Why would I want you to leave when we're just getting started?
Wayne giggles, shocked into it.
Only getting started? I don't know where you've been, but I've had 3 orgasms already and...
Wayne grabs onto Lantern's arms as Lantern pushes her thigh in between Wayne's, right up against her pussy.
You think 3 is your limit?
Lantern asks, starting to rock against her. Wing, over-insensitive but God so turned on, can only moan at the feel of Lenten's thigh against her clit. She closes her eyes and rides it out, moving in tandem, chasing pleasure.
I guess not.
She rocks against her, slick and hot, and where her orgasm hits this time, it's a lovely little ripple of pleasure, making her gasp and spasm in place. When she opens her eyes, Lantern is looking very self-satisfied. Wayne laughs and rolls her eyes. Okay, now your turn.
Later.
And then something appears to occur to Lantern.
Do you have anywhere to be tonight?
Oh, Wayne doesn't have any particular plans. She was just going to go home and have instant ramen for dinner, maybe watch something mind-numbing on TV. No work tomorrow, she could do that all night. No?
Good.
And then Lantern kisses her and rolls them over.
I think 7 is probably enough.
Wing moans an indeterminate amount of time later.
Honestly, I'm so doped out, Gigi.
Her entire body is trembling.
How are you?
Lantern asks, drawing lazy circles around Wing's clit.
What if I were to do this?
And she slips 2 fingers inside Wing, easy as can be, because Wing has never been wetter in her life. Lantern's fingers are long, and they find the spot that makes Wayne see stars. She's nearly incoherent by now, and something like a sob escapes her.
Lantern, fuck! I swear, I'm done, I'm just... Oh, fuck.
Lantern has leaned down and begun to lick her clit, methodical and unhurried. Wayne shudders against her, her body going boneless, and gives into the feeling of burgeoning pleasure that washes over her. It's midnight, and Wayne is nearly asleep. Lantern has finally taken pity on her after orgasm number 10,
A good round number, she'd said, the sadist,
and is now watching Wei Ying with some amusement through hooded eyes.
Sleepy?
How are you not? Wei Ying mumbles. I'm so fucked out.
Good, Lantern says,
then reaches out and lays a surprisingly gentle hand over Wei Ying's cheek.
Sleep, Wei Ying.
You don't want me to make myself scarce? Lantern, looking soft in the lamplight, shakes her head once.
No. Stay.
Wei Ying stays.
She wakes up with sleep in her eyes hours later. The room is lit by natural light and she's alone. She sits up, yawning, and looks around. Lanchan's bedroom is extraordinarily neat. Apart from the bed, there's a bedside table, a desk, a chair, a dresser, and a bookshelf. Everything is neat and in its place, down to the sticky note dispenser at one corner of the desk. Wim blinks, then blinks again. She's never seen anyone's bedroom look this neat. Uncanny. Weird. She wonders where Lenchen is and what the protocol is now that she's awake. She takes an inventory of her body. Everything is sore, especially between her legs. And then lunges for the floor to where her jeans ended up. Her phone is, mercifully, still in her back pocket and unharmed, and even has some battery left. After chewing it over for a moment, she makes a decision and texts Wen Qing. Sexuality crisis over. Jiri's in. Gay. Her phone lights up in the next moment with a call, which Wei Ying picks up without thinking.
You big slut!
Wen Qing crows.
Lantern?
Who else? Wei Ying sighs, shocked to hear how happy she sounds.
I knew it! You owe me, Mian Mian,
she says as an aside.
Wei Ying gasps. Did you bet money on me not being straight?
Wait, why is Mian Mian there?
It wasn't money,
Wen Qing says, and Wei hears Mian Mian's giggle just as everything slots into place.
Wen Qing, are you two?
Gotta go, bye. And then Wei Ying is staring at an inert phone.
What the fuck? Did everybody get laid last night? Wen Qing and Mian Mian?
She's still looking down at her phone. She only just now registers that it's 9 a.m., when the door opens and Lantern walks in. She's wearing a simple white t-shirt and baggy shorts, and she's carrying two steaming cups. She stops as soon as she notices Wei Ying watching her. There's a moment of just looking at each other, and then Lantern steps forward and sets one of the cups down onto the bedside table. It's green tea.
Good morning.
Hi. Wei Ying can't help smiling at her, feeling suddenly shy. Sorry I slept so late.
You didn't.
Lantern tells her as she pulls up a chair and sits down in it.
I simply tend to get up early.
Wei Ying bites her lip and looks down at her darkened phone. So, she says, uncertain.
Have some tea.
Lantern suggests, and Wei Ying obeys, reaching for it and inhaling its pungent aroma. She loves green tea. Thank you, she says from the bottom of her heart. They drink their tea in silence. Lenchen's head cocked a bit to the side as she studies Wei Ying as though Wei Ying were a particularly interesting specimen. Finally, unable to take any more silence, Wei Ying blurts out. Now what?
What do you mean?
Lenchen asks slowly, carefully. Uh-oh. We should tread carefully here, because this may have been a one-time thing, and if that's the case, she should let Lantern off the hook.
I just meant, you know, want me to get out of here?
Wei realizes she desperately wants to stay, wants to get to know Lantern,
wants to talk to her, wants to find out what makes her tick.
Outside of the bedroom.
No,
Lenchen says simply, then takes another sip of her tea.
But you're welcome to go if that is what you wish.
Wayne gives her a sunny smile and settles deeper against the headboard. So if I said I wanted to stay all day, you'd just let me?
Yes.
Lenchen looks serious, her gaze sharper, suddenly intent. What if I said I wanted to stay the weekend? Wayne tests, feeling excitement blooming in her belly.
Very well,
Lenchen says. Lenchen! We barely know each other and you're willing to spend the weekend with me? Lenchen's preternaturally serious face is lovely in the morning light.
Yes.
Oh. Wayne flushes and looks down at her cup of tea. Have gone already. I'll need, like, clean clothes.
You can borrow some of mine.
I don't even have clean panties, Wayne points out, somewhat reluctantly.
I do.
A shiver runs through Wayne. Isn't that a bit weird?
Is it?
Lenchen asks. Wayne slowly shakes her head. Don't you have plans for the day? You don't strike me as an idle sort of person.
I can change my plans,
Lenchen tells her.
Or?
And here, she actually looks down, the tips of her ears going bright pink.
You could join me in my plans.
Really? Wayne's heart picks up. What plans are those?
Lunch with my brother, a visit to the library, going to the market.
Your brother, really? She remembers seeing the two of them back at the restaurant, feeling pleased at where she is now with Lenchen as opposed to back then. Wayne chews on her lip as she considers it. Won't he mind me butting in? Lenchen shakes her head.
He would be happy for you to join.
And then the tip of her nose grows pink too. Oh no. Oh no, that is so cute. Why is Lenchen so cute? Jie jie, Wayne says, a smile blooming on her face. Do you like me? Lenchen's eyebrow gives a tiny quirk.
I would have thought that was self-evident.
Wayne mock gasps, then leans forward. It is not! Remember how you've blown me off?
I accepted your friend request on WeChat.
And barely used it!
I did not wish to presume.
Lenchen!
Wayne.
Wayne feels the laugh bubble out of her from deep within her belly. You're so weird, she says, sounding almost odd. You know that? You're the strangest person I've ever met. Lenchen simply watches her, silent but so present. Wayne wants to kiss her, and then she realizes that she can. Come here, she commands, then sets her tea down under the bedside table. Lenchen does the same, but doesn't move further. Here, Wayne says, patting the spot on the bed next to her. Lenchen seems to hesitate for a moment, and then moves from the chair to the spot Wayne had indicated. This puts them face to face. Wayne grins and leans in, giving her a peck on the nose. Hi.
Hello,
Lenchen says. You know, you wore me out last night, but I think... Wayne makes a show of checking in with herself, face contemplative. I think I might be up for another round. Lenchen doesn't say anything in response, but she does grab the covers and yank them off of Wayne. Wayne giggles, feeling self-conscious to be this naked in the light of day. You're insatiable, you know that? Anyone ever tell you that? She asks, leaning in close enough to kiss.
No,
Lenchen tells her simply. And then they don't talk for a good long time.
The end. Thanks for listening.